All right, guys. Well, this morning's topic, all right, the next 3 weeks we're going to be talking about check yes or no. This is, I told you earlier, this is one that applies to everybody. And this is one that the Bible talks about in a couple different places. And it's one where, you know, I became a Christian when I was 10 years old. And I can promise you this, as often as I applied the biblical truth and the biblical kind of encouragement to this part of my life, I benefited. And as much as I overlooked, ignored, or flat out rebelled against what God's Word says in this area, I suffered for it. All right, and that's always the case with every area of our lives, but this one specifically, I mean, I could just spell it out for you. It's so clear and detailed. I'll tell you that following God's direction and encouragement in this area, in your age and in this culture today, is going to be very hard to do, maybe even harder than when I was younger. So what I'm about to present to you is not something that might be easy to apply to your life or easy to follow, but it will always bring good into your life if you do, and usually suffering if you don't. And I was just this morning reading over Proverbs 3. I want to read you verse 1 and then verse 13 and a little bit more here. Verse 1 and 2 from Proverbs 3 says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity." And I have children of my own and two boys, and so I would say that to Chapman and Cole, my son, don't forget my teaching. Don't forget the commands of God, really. They're going to prolong your life and bring you prosperity. You know, on verse 13 says, "Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, gains understanding. For wisdom and understanding are more profitable than silver, and they yield better returns than gold. They're more precious than rubies. Nothing that you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways. All her paths are peace." I'm just going to tell you, all the paths of the wisdom and understanding found in God's Word lead to peace. I was talking with a young lady. She's sitting right here in the front row. She's got her Bible open and is looking at it right now, and that's what she was doing out in the lobby. She's got a new Bible, and she's reading it, because maybe she knows what I know, which is all the paths in this thing lead to peace. So that's my kind of promise on the front end of this as we jump in, that this isn't going to be easy, but it's going to lead to peace. Now, what am I going to talk about? Transformation that happens in our lives. That's what I'm going to talk about. And I'm going to demonstrate the transformation that happened in my life between 7th and 8th grade. And it may have already happened in your life, or it may be happening soon, or it may be happening right now. But first, I just want to photographically show you a picture of me in 7th grade. Check it out. I'm the one on the left, the short one. I'm wearing a tie that I believe what is on that tie? Fish or something? It's weird. But this is me and my 7th grade sweetheart dance. So it's right around this time of year. Our junior high had a dance every year right around February. It's called the sweetheart dance. And this is me and my boys. You might recognize, if you ever went to Pine Cove, that guy in the middle is Silly Putty. Right there, his name's Lance. He was a good friend of mine in junior high. And then those are two of my other friends there. And they're normal-sized people, and I'm the small one, okay? And this is me and my 7th grade dance. I did not go to the dance with a date. I just went with my guys. And there's a funny story behind that. My left hand is hidden behind Lance because it was all wrapped up in gauze and stuff because of an injury I sustained that evening. But I will not tell you that story today. But this is me in 7th grade going to the 7th grade dance with the fellas. Transformation happened. Not physically, I think I actually got smaller, but between 7th and 8th grade, and look at the difference in the 8th grade sweetheart dance picture. That's right, that's me with a giant. No, that's me with a lady, a normal-sized 8th grade lady, and pygmy 8th grade David, all right? But between 7th and 8th grade, I found girls, all right? Now, they'd always existed, and they'd been around, and there was little playground crushes in elementary school. But between 7th and 8th grade, I started thinking, maybe I should go to the dance with a girl instead of with the guys. Maybe I'd rather be on this side of the stage if you remember earlier, than this side of the stage. Any girl will do. I will slow dance with you. This is new and exciting. I enjoy the feelings that I feel. Not so much interested in this side of the stage anymore. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but some of you guys have experienced that that transformation. All right? The transformation where you go, I wasn't interested, guys, in the girls at one point, but now I think I am. Brooks, you know what I'm talking about. And just kidding. I don't know. He was just looking like, oh, yeah. And girls, you may have experienced that transformation in your life. If you haven't yet, though, I promise you it's coming. All of our lives, there comes this point where you're not so much interested in taking a date to the dance. And then suddenly, you've got to find a date to the dance. And it matters. And it is huge. And this is what we're talking about for the next 3 weeks, is this transformation. And right now, today, we're just going to call it feelings. These new feelings, all right? So there's all different kinds of feelings, but when I say feelings, I'm talking about a guy's feelings of attraction for a girl, wanting her to notice him, wanting her to like him and affirm him, wanting to feel connected with her, wanting to feel close with her. And girls, your feelings of attraction to guys, I don't know why you'd be attracted to any of these guys, but you are, and wanting to be noticed by them, wanting to be texted by them, wanting to be liked by them, wanting them to want you and to be connected with them. This is a natural thing that develops in all of our lives, all right? This desire to be connected with someone of the opposite gender. We're going to call it feelings, all right? And here's kind of the observation that I want to make this morning, is that, you know, everybody is going to go through this transformation. Everybody's going to have these feelings, but most people, all right, don't have a plan. Most people don't have a plan for acting on their feelings. It's confusing. I'm lucky because I grew up in a day and age without cell phones. I've told you this before, so we write notes. So, you know, as I've gone through the years and I moved to college and then I moved out, I threw away most of the junk from when I was growing up. But I saved a few treasures because I knew I'd want to look back on them. Now, you guys have cell phones, you have text messages, but they get so buried in all your other text messages, you don't get to save stuff like this. So let me encourage you guys, if you have a really good text message exchange with somebody, take a little screen capture picture and save that somewhere, because you might want to look back on it someday. Because I can look back on these notes, and it's like a little time capsule from when I was your age. And all your stuff is just getting buried and lost. But these feelings can get confusing. Here's a note I hijacked, all right? So like when you get a hold of someone else's phone and you can update their Facebook status, you can look at all their texts, it's like a field day. It's so fun. This was a note that somehow got intercepted, and I kept it because it was hilarious. It was written by Jessica to Sarah. Now listen, she's talking about feelings. I don't know why girls talk to each other like this. Sarah, hey babe. Why? What's up? Not much here. And by the way, like, hey babe is in purple, what's up is in orange. Not much is in purple. I mean, they are wasting some time here. Hey, babe, what's up? Not much here. Guess who I like? See, you can't text back and forth, so you have to, like, answer your own questions and create them. Guess who I like? I like Noah Sanders, but I don't know if he likes me. Kelly was telling the truth about me liking Johnny still. Okay, so this is confusing if you're Noah or Johnny, because she says, it's true, I like Noah. Oh, but also Kelly was telling the truth about me liking Johnny, too. And then she says, I don't ever want to go out with anyone unless I really like them. Okay, that's confusing because she doesn't really want to go out with anybody, but she likes two people unless she really likes them. Now get this next sentence. I like them both. There's one more person I like, Jackie Manning. Who do you like? Well, gotta go. Smile, Jessica. So these feelings get confusing because you don't even know who you feel them for. And if you're guys, you don't even know who's feeling them for you and if they're going to change. Here's a note written to me by Nessa. Nessa Eskandari. That was her last name. And here's what's weird is she like lives in Carrollton. She lives like really close to here. And so every once in a while, like our paths will cross. And it's strange because Nessa wrote me this note. David, hey, cutie, what's up? Yes! Right? She called me cutie. Not a lot here. I'm in science, and we were watching some dumb movie, so I thought I should write the cutest person in the world. Yes! That's me. The cutest person in the world. Shut up. So she says that. I want to write the cutest person in the world. Listen to this. Man, I have a splinter in my thumb, and it just about hurts. I think I need those fine guys from Moore to come make it feel better. I know, right? What? So she says, I'm the cutest person in the world, but when she gets a splinter, she wants these guys from another town called Moore that we met at the student council convention to come help her out. So I'm like, okay, what does that mean? And then she says, I guess some people from Madison will do. That was another school in our town. So I'm like, wait, so now I'm third place after Moore and Madison? I thought I was cutest in the world. Then she comes back to me. You were so cute at K-Life last night. Did you notice that Heather wasn't there? That's why Rusty was sitting with me, because he didn't have Heather to flirt with. So now she's flirting with Rusty. Who flirts with a guy named Rusty? Hey, Jason just called me pretty. Jason? Do you think I'm pretty? I don't. Do you love me? I love you because you're so cute. Okay, we're back. Okay, Matt is just about to tee me off. I think I'll go beat him up. That's just its own little paragraph. Then we get back. I can't believe you. I guess you're even going to drive me nuts saying that I should be with Rusty. Well, I guess I was saying she should be with Rusty. And then she says, I don't think so. I'll tell you my top five guys. And so I'm like, all right, cutest person in the world. I'm going to make this list. Number five, Jeff Wisnakis. Number four, Jackie Manning. Number three, Chris McDonald. Number two, Jason Penney. Number one, those guys from Moore. You won't tell anyone, will you? Well, gotta go. See you in cooking. I'm ready for them waffles. Love, Nessa. What is that? What is that? It's like you're sitting there with your boys, and you get a text from Jenny, and you're like, ooh, I got a text from Jenny. She must like you. She says, hey, cutie. Then she doesn't know you're sitting there with your friend Ryan. Ryan gets the same text. Hey, cutie. Oh, man. This doesn't make sense. This is what Nessa was effectively doing with this note, and that's what Jessica was doing with her note. These feelings can get confusing, and the problem is that most people don't have a plan for acting on them. So they're just like throwing darts at the wall, and wherever the dart lands, drawing a target around it and being like, yeah, that's what I meant to do. That's good. That'll work. I mean, here's what's strange, guys. We have a plan for academics. Like the world does, society does, whether you make it or not. Like you go to first grade, then you go to second grade, hopefully. Then you go to third grade. Then you go to fourth grade. Then you go to fifth grade. Then you go to sixth. And you go to college. If you graduate with good enough grades and test scores and you're able to afford it, then, you know, you get a job. And kind of the world kind of has this plan, and you kind of have a plan as you grow and you start to understand it. You have a plan for athletics. If you want to play soccer, you join a soccer team. There's certain teams that you try to be on. You want to play baseball, you join a baseball team. Part of the plan is you go to practice. And then if you want to get better, you get one of those little things that you throw the ball at and it bounces back to you. And, you know, there's a plan for everything. Except for most people don't have a plan for acting on their feelings. You want to play the flute? Guess what? You take flute lessons. And you've got a plan for it. But there's no feelings lessons. There's no feelings teams. Hey, I'm joining the feeling club. Because then we form a plan for how we're all going to deal with these feelings instead of just confusing each other and bouncing off the walls everywhere. Most people don't have a plan for this. And this is weird. This is a problem because everybody has these feelings. Everybody goes through this transformation. But almost nobody, I would venture to say, you know, 5% of the people in this room actually have a plan for how they're going to deal with that. And those are the 5% whose parents have annoyed you and annoyed you and annoyed you talking to you about this issue, and yet they've helped you develop a plan in the midst of annoying you. And it's been really helpful. But you're the only people that have a plan for how to deal with this. Everybody else is on their own. What are they doing on TV? What are they doing in a movie? What is that song saying to do? What are my friends? What's everybody around me doing? And we're just going to make it up as we go, and it's going to change as our culture changes. Most people don't have a plan. And most people end up confused and lost and in trouble. So here's the deal that I want to tell you this morning is that God does have a plan for your feelings. I mean, he just does. And I mean, it would shock you how much his word talks about these kinds of feelings. There's an entire book of the Bible. It's called Song of Solomon. And it is a love story from people first being attracted to each other, to dating, to being engaged, to their marriage, and even all the way through conflict in their marriage. And it is detailed. If they made a movie, it would be rated R. Yes. Let me just give you a sneak peek of it. There's parts that I think your parents wouldn't want me to even show you at Wake that are in this book. But I want to just kind of talk to you a little bit about Song of Solomon. This whole book, it's not the only place in the Bible, but the whole book is just focused on these feelings. I want to give you a sneak peek, and I just want to make two observations about God's plan for these things. All right? So check this out. These are just some selected quotes from Song of Solomon. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Zach and Vanessa, High School Musical. I don't know what, that's like a not current reference, so I'm a little bit behind. Pleasing is the fragrance of your perfume. How beautiful you are, my darling. So these are quotes like the guy and girl are talking back and forth, so you can figure out who's talking. Oh, how beautiful. The book talks about your eyes, your hair, it describes it, your teeth, your lips, your neck. Your lips drop sweetness as the honeycomb, my bride. Milk and honey are under your tongue. How does he know that? Ask your parents if you don't know. His left arm is under my head. His right arm embraces me. Take me away with you. Let us hurry. Let the king bring me into the bedroom. I know. Right, Brooks? So this is the tame stuff, guys. This is the PG version. This book of the Bible gets hot and heavy. I'm sorry, Brooks. It gets really in depth about these kinds of feelings. And so, like, whether you're there or not, you've made this transformation or not, like, there's going to come a time in your life when you're going to think about kissing another person. I remember this is the cheesiest thing. I was 16 years old, so I was a little bit older. I remember I was actually 15. My friend was 16. He was driving because he had his license. We're driving around, and like, I don't know why I felt comfortable saying this to this guy, but I remember saying out loud, man, I just want somebody to hold me. You know, like, you ever just want somebody to hold and to hold you and, you know, and you know, it was kind of a weird moment where he's like, turn up the radio. I was like, where are we going now? You know, but that was the time that I verbally expressed it. But like, that's a thing that it's okay because everybody thinks and feels these deals where it's like, man, I want a connection. Like, I want to be close. I want a closeness to somebody. And I want them to want me. I want them to want to hold me. I want them to want to be close to me. I want to be affirmed and valued. And I want to love somebody else like that. And so these feelings all come up. They're all there. Every single Justin Bieber song is about them. Okay? And so then we look at Song of Solomon and we realize this. God is not ignorant. God made us this way. God gave us these feelings. He's okay with the acting on these feelings because he fills up a whole book of his Bible with it. So the first point I want to make under God has a plan for your feelings is this. God is for feelings. Now you have to listen to point number two, but I want you to get point number one. It is not okay just by itself. God is for these feelings though, all right? God does not want you to avoid them forever and completely. It is not bad to be attracted to someone else of the opposite gender. It is not bad to want to be held. It is not bad to think about kissing. It is not bad to want someone to want to hold your hand. In the movies, when I sat in the movie theater next to Alison Moore and I kept my hand right on the edge of my seat with my pinky hanging over the edge, hoping that maybe her hand would brush it. And then I could grab it. And we could interlock fingers. God is for guys wanting to impress and shower gifts on a woman and love her. And he's for a woman wanting to be that woman for that man and to love him. God's four feelings, all right? That's what I want you to take away from Song of Solomon. But here's the tricky thing, and this is where you really need to pay attention to point two. Anytime the Bible repeats itself, you need to really perk up and listen. And the same verse pops up in Song of Solomon, not once, not twice, but three times. The exact same verse at different points in this relationship of attraction and feelings between this man and this woman in this love story. And it's the friends of these people that are really fascinated and having a crush on each other. Their friends speak up three times and they say the exact same thing. And your friends should be saying this to you. Check it out. It's in chapter 2, verse 7, chapter 3, verse 5, and chapter 8, verse 4. It says, "Do not arouse or awaken love until the time is right." Another translation, that's the second translation down below it, says, "Don't excite love. Don't stir it up until the time's ripe and you're ready." And you're ready. So don't let these feelings take control of your life. Don't act on them until the time is right. Until the time is right. So here's point two. God is for these feelings, but God has set a time and a place for acting on feelings. So God has a plan for them, and there's a time and a place for them. Now, here's where it gets hard. I told you this was going to get hard. You can search your Bible like crazy, and you're never going to find a couple acting on these feelings, these romantic, mushy feelings. You're never going to find it outside of a married relationship. So everyone go get married this afternoon. No, that's not the message. Here's the message, guys. This is hard. You have got to learn to not arouse or awaken these feelings that are natural, that God is for. You have got to learn to put on the brakes and wait until the right time and the right place for acting on them. And this is where I told you every time that I let off the brakes and I hit the gas pedal and I dove into a relationship, ones I've told you out before, it ended messy. In heartache for her, or heartache for me, or dysfunction and broken relationships all around our friends. God set a time and a place for acting on them. He's for them, but he's got boundaries on it. He's got boundaries on it. And he calls those boundaries marriage. It's a safe environment to live out and express the feelings that God has given us that are natural. And I know this is a hard message, but it is true. And I promise you, if you heed those words that are repeated three times, don't arouse or awaken love until the time is right. Don't arouse it. Don't awaken it until the time is right. If you follow that, I promise you, you will find life and prosperity and goodness. And I promise you, you need to surround yourself with friends who will say that to you. And you need to be a friend that says that to others. Whoa, hold the phone. You guys are going fast. This is getting serious. Somebody's going to get hurt. Don't arouse or awaken this until the time is right. This isn't the right time. You're 13. He's 14. He's an idiot. Slow down. So the application is this. Take it slow. Take it slow. Take it slow, guys. Here's your closing video. Anybody ever watch the Brady Bunch?
Yes.
Watch this clip from the Brady Bunch and I'll get you out of here.
Hey, where are you guys going? I thought we were going to shoot some baskets.
Oh, yeah, well, we've got something more important to do, Bobby.
More important than basketball?
Not even in the same league. Greg then dropped me off at Wendy's house.
And I got a date, too.
You guys think girls are more important than basketball?
Did you ever try kissing a basketball?
Well, I'd rather kiss a basketball and a catcher's mitt than any dumb old girl.
Just wait. You'll be kissing girls.
And liking it, too.
No way. I wouldn't kiss a girl for nothing. Come on, let's play.
Bye, Bobby. Bye.
Kissing girls. Hi, Bobby. Oh, hi, Millicent. Cindy's inside.
I didn't come here to see Cindy. I came to see you.
Me? What for?
To thank you for making that boy stop teasing me in school today.
You're very brave.
Oh, it wasn't anything.
It was, too. And I really appreciate it.
Bobby, what's wrong?
Huh? I'm not sure. Millicent, you gotta promise something. You gotta promise you'll never tell anybody in the whole world what just happened.
Why not?
Because if my brothers find out, I'll be ruined for life. Promise?
Okay, I promise.
Thanks. It'll be our secret. Nobody else will ever know.
Oh, Cindy. Well, here's the deal, guys. All right? Here's the deal. When your ew turns to ooh, there's going to be fireworks. But just like in life, there is a time and a place for fireworks. All right? It's called 4th of July outside the city limits. All right? God has set a time and a place for the fireworks of those romantic feelings in our lives. We would not set off those huge fireworks that shoot up and explode. We would not do that right here in this room. We would all die. That's the same thing that happens, guys. Hang on. Setting up a row of fireworks in here and lighting them all at once is the same thing that happens when you guys just run wild with your feelings. There's explosions and carnage everywhere. And next week, we're going to talk about specifically what happens when those fireworks go off too soon. Let me pray and we'll get you out of here.